beneath the noise.
Comfortable, Mrs. Jensen? Yes, thank you. How about you, Randall? May I get either of you a soda or coffee?
Mrs. Jensen shifted in her seat.
No, thank you. How do we start? This is a little new to me.
She turned her head and took in the profile of her son.
To us. Well now, I need to get some background first. Mrs. Jensen, you made the appointment. Suppose you tell me how you think I can help. You were recommended by the school counselor, Mrs. Crabtree. She said you have experience in things like this. Things like what?
Dr. John Armstrong circled behind the pair and settled into a comfortable, overstuffed armchair to their right.
Randall here has been expelled from school because of an incident involving the police on school property. He's been fighting, too. They think there's something wrong with him beyond that. I suppose it's safe to say that the choices were this or official discipline.
Mrs. Jensen had been staring ahead, but turned and spoke directly to the doctor.
My husband and I want to avoid that. Fighting, huh? Is that so, Randall?
Randall was uncomfortably perched on the edge of his seat, staring blankly at his shoes. Mrs. Jensen broke the silence.
Last week, he struck another boy with a broom handle. Did you do that?
The slightly built boy shrugged his shoulders and kept his stare locked on his own feet. John leaned forward a bit.
Can you tell me what happened?
It was obvious that the boy had little or nothing to say.
Tell you what, Mrs. Jensen, I think we can get along all right by ourselves here for a while. Would you mind stepping out into the reception area? Gladys will get you some coffee or tea. Why don't you let Randall and I have a few words together? But,
she began, clutching her purse.
Please, it will be just a few minutes.
John rose and opened the door to the outer office. He stood beside it as the pale woman passed. He closed the door and walked slowly back across the room, stopping at a small compact refrigerator. Stooping down, he opened it and brought out two cans of Coke. With a deliberately slow motion, he popped open both cans, took a long drink from one, then turned and joined the boy.
You want a Coke?
John held out the open can. Randall looked up just the slightest bit, just enough to show that he saw the can and dropped his eyes again. John placed the can on the table next to him.
Okay, Randall.
John took a bulging manila folder from his desk and opened it.
You're 17. You drive. You seem to be pretty smart. Let's see if I can figure you out in 30 short seconds. It's a little game I play.
The folder was plainly marked with the high school name and was stamped confidential. He took another long, slow drink from his can and leaned back, putting his feet up on the table.
Okay, time's up. Let's see how I do. Ahem.
He cleared his throat dramatically.
You're a whole lot smarter than people think. Especially your homeroom and history teacher. But they think you're a dork. Probably a troublemaker. Your parents think you are on drugs.
He paused for effect.
Or worse. You probably do smoke a little weed with your buds, but it's too expensive to get in very deep. Electronics is your focus, and chemistry is probably pretty cool too, but you just don't get it in class. You don't have many friends except for a small few who think they're too cool for school. You know they really don't have much going for them. You hang with them because they think you're pretty smart and nobody else will anyway. Your folks think you don't apply yourself, and maybe they can reason with you to be a better kid. You think they don't understand.
John looked up from his notes to face the boy watching his feet.
And you think I'm a jerk and all you have to do is wait out the hour or so and you can go home.
Randall suddenly looked up, a mixture of stun and embarrassment on his face. John made eye contact.
Score time. How did I do?
Randall looked away quickly and picked up the Coke. He held it for a few moments and took a sip.
Do you understand why you're here?
Yes and no, the boy answered.
What part of it is no?
John asked.
The all of it part. What part of it is yes?
The none of it part.
I understand your reluctance to be here, but that's out of my hands. This goes on your mom's tab, so it's no skin off my nose. So far, I don't see what control I'm supposed to have over you.
Randall shifted back in his seat just a bit.
If you really believed that, you'd open the door and I'd leave. We can do that. But you know there would be some kind of reaction from your folks.
Yeah, I know. He shrugged.
How about we pretend to be friends and see where that leads? Just an hour and we just pretend, okay?
Randall shrugged again.
So, how long have you been hearing voices? You get right to the point, huh, Doc?
He cocked his head and looked toward the doctor.
That's my job. It's right here on the referral.
John pointed to a place inside the manila folder.
Am I not supposed to know about it?
He paused for two breaths.
So? I don't hear voices. Not like you think, anyway. Okay, what do you suppose I think?
Randall scrunched up his face and frowned deeply.
If we're going to be friends, then don't treat me like a baby. Look, you're going to make a cool 100 out of this one way or the other. We can pretend to be friends, but don't pretend to care. I know you don't.
John dropped his feet to the floor and scooted his chair forward to come closer to the angry boy.
Look, I asked your mom to step out for several reasons. Give me a little credit and cut me a little slack. I just met you, and of course there isn't any way we can be best of buds right off the starting line. But look.
John pointed to his west wall where his diplomas, certificates, and licenses hung.
You think I just screw around and make a buck or two where I can? You think this is some kind of a part-time job here? Here's the cut me some slack part. I might be able to help you. It's what I'm trained to do. It's what I do day in, day out. Some kids go straight to hell no matter what I do, and others get their act together in fine style. I can't help everybody, but I do have a pretty good track record. Now, here are the rules. You can walk out any time. Whether you get brought back or not is not my decision. But if you stay under my rules.
He swept his hand around the office.
After all, it is my office. I'll trade you two promises for one. Such a deal you shouldn't refuse. First, whatever you and I say in here stays in here. I have to let your folks in the school district know generally what's up, but the details are none of anyone else's business unless you say so. You can trust me on that. Second, I'll do whatever I can to help you. That doesn't mean I'll do what you tell me to do, but I'll make every decision, every action, based on what I think is best for you. I'm on your side. You may not like me all the time, and you may not agree all the time, but I'm not an agent of your mother. Okay? Now, what one thing do I get for my two?
John finally had Randall's attention. The boy shifted in his seat, gripping the can of Coke tightly and looking directly into the psychiatrist's eyes.
I'll tell you what I get. You tell me the truth. I ask a question, you tell me the truth. No stories, no slides around a fact. If you don't want to tell me something, be a man and say so. The first lie breaks our agreement. If you can't tell me the truth, you don't tell me anything. It's the truth or nothing.
John twisted around in his chair and pulled open a nearby drawer and grabbed two small bags of Cheetos.
Like these?
He asked as he tossed one bag right at the boy, who was suddenly fully alert.
Yeah, sure. Okay, we don't have a whole lot of time now. This is a first session, and we only scheduled an hour. Want to get down to basics? Test this new contract?
John made a big production out of noisily opening his bag.
I suppose. Let's get right into it. Tell me about the fight.
Randall fumbled with his bag of snacks. Pulling it open, he popped a handful into his mouth.
You have it all in the records. My mom already told you. Now see, that's what I'm talking about. You can say, no, I'm not talking, or you can just step up and tell me the truth. No sidestepping. Besides, do you really believe that I would automatically base my actions on one side of the story? Give me a little credit, okay? It didn't happen like they say. Anything those guys do is okay. They say I hit Chucky in the head with a broom handle. He says I snuck up on him. You didn't, I suppose. No, it wasn't like that at all. I told my mom, but she didn't believe me. Okay, start over. Fight hasn't happened yet. Tell me what went down. Don't sweat the small stuff. Just give me the chronology. Know what that means?
He dropped a sarcastic scowl on the doctor.
Well, duh. See, I told you that in my 30-second analysis. You're pretty bright. Go ahead. While I was walking back from homeroom to the electronics lab, Chucky and Marky and all the little Gestapo trolls grabbed my backpack and started pulling me around, trying to get it open. There was a big push mop leaning against the wall. You know, the kind they run up and down the hallways? Big dust mop? Yeah, I know what you mean. So they grabbed your backpack? What do they want with it? Or were they just goofing with you?
John put another handful of Cheetos in his mouth and smacked his hands together, scattering cheese dust in the air.
No, Chucky wanted the backpack. He saw me put something in it. Anyway, he pulled me down and I knocked over the broom and I fell right next to the handle and I just grabbed it and started swinging. I jumped up and was swinging it around to keep them off me. And Mr. Bergenkelter came out of the room right there and everybody split. He made a big deal out of it and tried to take my backpack too, but I wouldn't give it up. I knew it was going to be the principal's office for me, and they'd call my mom and dad and all this shit, so I ran. So, who ended up taking the backpack? Nobody. You mean that backpack there?
John pointed down at the dull brown pack Randall had dropped next to his chair.
Yeah. What were they after? What did Chucky see you put in the pack? Nothing.
Randall's eyes went back to the floor.
That's not in our contract. What was in the pack? I can't say. Okay, I can live with that. Can you tell me if it's illegal? No, nothing like that. No dope, money, nothing like that? No, nothing like that. Something you're ashamed of?
Randall perked up.
Hardly. Something I made. Something electronic, I'll bet. Uh-huh. Just leave it at that. Did my mom tell you I spend too much time in my shop? Did she tell you I was a techno geek?
John took a deep breath.
Okay, it's fess-up time on my part. If I'm going to insist on you telling me the truth, I need to tell you the truth, too. That fair? Uh-huh.
John pushed back in his chair.
Okay, I don't know much about you. Your mom hasn't told me much, but I'm pretty good at reading between the lines. I'm a psychiatrist, and I specialize in young people.
John held up the bulging folder.
I've got all your school records here, everything from immunization to hat size. Got a list of your friends, too. I've learned how to size up people pretty quickly. I'm usually pretty good at it, but it's not the same as actually knowing. It says here you can't get above a D- in PE and a D- in history.
He peered closely at the document.
I didn't even know they gave that grade. Is that for real?
Randall grinned.
Yeah, a record, huh? Wow, I wonder what the difference between a D- and an F is.
Randall shook his head slightly and looked back to the floor. John turned back to the folder.
Physics and chemistry are a mix of low C's and an occasional low B. You don't follow directions well, and you seem to have a hard time paying attention. Based on that alone, I'd give you up for a lost cause.
John met Randall's icy gaze. The boy had heard this line before, and it showed. John laughed quietly and showed a little smile.
Nah, I don't think so either. 'Cause look here. On the side they call vocational, I see a string of A's in electronics and applied electricity. Now back to the academic side. You've had physics in first hour and chemistry in fifth hour. Here.
John flipped to another sheet buried in the stack.
Your mom says you stay up way too late tinkering in your basement shop playing with, as she says, electrical gizmos. I'll bet you're hardly awake in physics, so that probably explains the lack of attention there. Good grades to those who aren't asleep, eh? Have you gotten to the electricity part of your physics class yet?
Randall shook his head slowly.
I didn't think so. When you do, I'll bet the grades go way up. And chemistry? Well, how do I say this?
John dropped the folder in his lap and cradled his chin in his hands. He looked as if he were mildly embarrassed to continue.
Well, since all this stays here between us, just between you and me, I know your chem teacher. Not personally, but I know her, credentials. No prize there. I doubt that she makes things very interesting, does she?
No. Randall's flat voice carried a sense of exasperation.
A better teacher would make all the difference, but that's not for me to deal with right now. I'm not sure she could teach her way out of a paper bag.
John met Randall's eyes again, and they both started to laugh.
See?
John said.
All that hard data without thinking about why? No wonder your parents and teachers don't know what to do. They know you're smart, but your grades stink. You should have decent friends, but you hang with losers. You're a quiet, gentle kid, but you get in fights. You build electrical gizmos, but you can't get above a C in physics. That wasn't the first fight, was it?
No. His eyes went back to the floor again.
But I don't start them. The Chucky and Marky troops usually do. Your folks don't think so, and neither does the school. It says here. It says wrong. They don't know. Wouldn't be the first time the official word was in error. But for now, it's all I have to go on.
Randall started to look restless. His eyes were darting around, yet always coming back for a flash glance at John. John scooted his chair closer until the two were nearly knee to knee.
Randall, this is as good a time as any. Remember, you don't have to answer my question, but you can't lie to me. You must know that I have a folder here that has lots of stuff in it from the school, and lots of that are the records of conversations with your folks and comments by the counselors, things like that. Now remember, whatever you say in here stays in here. I mean, I'll have to tell someone if you say you murdered somebody or something like that, but for now, we're just having a private conversation, just between you and me. Temporary friends, okay?
Okay. John felt that he had a chance to start again, but he wasn't sure if the time was right. A long, drawn-out silence filled the room.
It says here you hear voices. Is that right?
Randall didn't answer.
You do hear voices?
John asked.
What's up with that? No, not like they say. They twist everything around, like they have a question and only four checkboxes to choose from. Then you don't hear voices?
Randall remained silent. John placed a hand on either side of the boy's face and turned it up into his own, brown eyes staring into green. A faint teardrop reflected the image of the desk lamp.
Randall, you have to trust me now. If we don't make some kind of progress, they'll just label you and put you in whatever box they think fits, and nothing will change. Nothing will ever change.
He paused.
Are you happy? Is life a fun place?
No.
Then let's work on this a little. If I can't help, then what do you have to lose? If I can, you won't understand.
Randall pulled away from the doctor's warm hands. John pointed to his wall of diplomas.
You think I got all these cool certificates by being an idiot? Look, I work with young people all the time. It's what I do. I think I do it pretty well. Most I can help, but frankly, some I can't. But we won't know unless we try. That means both of us. If you walk out the door now and don't come back, what do you suppose will happen? What comes next? You think school is going away? You think you can become an adult with the snap of your fingers and move to a cabin in Colorado and never have to face the Chucky and Marky gang again? You think your mom and dad will drop it? Try trusting me just a little.
Randall straightened up in his chair and let out a big sigh.
So, you hear voices, huh?
John asked again.
Yeah, but it's not like you think. It's different. So it's not little voices in your head that tell you to do things, eh?
Randall leaned forward in his chair, twisting around to look at the door of the outer office. He dropped his voice as if he were afraid of being overheard.
Have you ever been in a restaurant that was real noisy? You know, where everyone is speaking at once. You can't make out any particular conversation, except maybe the ones really close. If you shut your eyes and concentrate really hard, you can begin to make out a single word here and there. Maybe it's because somebody says something really loud, or maybe they just say it at the right moment when most everybody else is taking a breath or something. But for the most part, you just hear noise. Yeah, I guess everyone has heard that one time or another. Same as a baseball game or a crowd before a concert.
John looked quizzically at the boy.
Well, suppose for a second that you're in the middle of the crowd listening to all the noise, and I'm way over by the wall, quietly saying your name over and over and over. Would you hear it?
Probably not, John admitted. How about if I got your attention and you could see me and you see my mouth moving and you knew I was saying your name? Would you hear it then?
I don't know. Probably not. I might think I heard it, but I think it would be more suggestion than anything.
Something disturbing tugged at John's memory. He picked up his nearly empty Coke can with one hand and touched his own face with the other. A feeling of familiarity crept into his thoughts. Randall continued.
Okay, now let's assume that everybody in the restaurant is saying the same thing in unison, instead of having random conversations. Like everyone is saying peas and peas, peas and carrots and peas, all together, over and over. I suppose in that case I might be able to hear you, just barely. I don't know. How about if you didn't know I was there saying your name? No, I suppose I wouldn't hear it then. That's what I mean. The voice isn't in my head, it's real. I hear it because I can make the background noise sound in unison. I hear it because I'm listening. And they aren't they, it's just one.
Is it a man or a woman? Randall kept his gaze on John's face.
I didn't know at first. What did it say? I didn't know that either.
He paused.
At first. Okay, so you hear voices in the crowd and...
Randall cut him off sharply.
No, see, that's the thing. Last year they thought I was suicidal because I stayed in the basement so much and didn't talk a lot or anything. They made me take Valium. That's what's funny about it all. If it weren't for the drugs, I wouldn't have read what I did and built what I did. I tried to tell the doctor, but he was too busy writing stuff down in a notebook as I talked. He wrote it all down, but he didn't hear me. He didn't listen to me. I mean...
John interrupted.
I know exactly what you mean.
He sighed heavily.
Sometimes these certificates don't mean much. Some of us are just like your chemistry teacher. All the certificates sometimes mask the fact that there are good people and bad people in any profession. We get too busy documenting and analyzing and reporting, and we forget we're in the real world. Well, no notes here.
He spread his hands out wide.
I'm listening.
Randall started again.
Anyway, the Valium calmed me down all right. I just sat in my workshop and thought. Didn't feel like making anything. Just thought and read a lot. That's when I read an article in Scientific American about solid-state noise. You know what solid-state noise is, Dr. Armstrong? Actually, I think I do. You see, we have a lot more in common than you think.
John looked back to the records in his lap. He flipped a sheet or two.
I see you're an amateur radio operator. What's your call?
Randall looked genuinely surprised.
WB9JJY.
Dr. Armstrong thrust his hand out.
K9PLS. How do you do? Wow, that's an old call. Well, trouble is, it's expired. I haven't been on the air in over 20 years. My license lapsed and I never retested. A hobby from my dark ages. Okay, tell me about solid-state noise. It's called shot effect noise, or Schottky noise, named after one of the original Bell guys that invented the transistor. You see, a solid-state diode is supposed to conduct electricity in one direction, blocks it from going backwards. But no diode is perfect, and nearly all of them leak backwards a little. I understand that. What does that have to do with voices? I mean, the voice.
John asked skeptically. The expression on his face showed that he was pretty sure where this line of inquiry was leading.
Well, there are some really good diodes that only leak a little, just one or two electrons for every trillion. This article described how to hook a diode up backwards and amplify the sounds of the individual electrons getting through, the shot noise. I built one.
Randall reached over the side of his chair and unzipped the backpack. He pulled a small metal box out and placed it neatly on his lap. The box was scratched-up aluminum, the kind you could buy at any Radio Shack. The top was fitted with a single LED indicator, a switch, and a simple volume control. Trailing out of the back was the wire leading to an ordinary pair of Walkman earphones. Leading out of the front was a coiled-up tiny coax cable, terminating in a small metal capsule.
It's just like the noise generators they use to test acoustics in a concert hall. It's even a little like they used to use in Russian shortwave jammers back in the Cold War days. So, does it work? That's what got me into trouble with school this week. I got expelled for trying to start a fire in the chem lab.
John leaned back.
Now you lost me. What does this have to do with this?
He pointed first at the box and then to the folder.
What was the fire all about? See, that's what I mean. They don't listen. They don't care what the truth is. They just write down what they want, what they think they know. It's too easy for them to lie and too hard for me to fix it, so I just went along. There was never a fire.
Randall stabbed a finger at the reports.
Does it say I started a fire?
John looked at the reports again, more closely this time.
No. It says you created a fire hazard, endangered the students in the lab, stole chemistry property. Tell you what.
He turned the papers over and looked back at Randall.
You tell me what happened. Skip the petty stuff and hit the high points. It's this.
Randall held out the box and placed it in John's hand. He was quiet for a moment or two.
This is where I hear the voice. I hear it here.
He passed the earphones over.
When I made this, I just got a lot of random hiss and sputters out of it, a little like shortwave noise when you tune between stations. It's very soothing, kind of like a distant waterfall or wind in the trees, or the ocean without the pounding surf. I used to lay awake at night and listen to it until I went to sleep. And that,
he looked back to the door and lowered his voice to a whisper,
is when I heard the voice.
Gladys spoke quietly from the intercom.
Dr. Armstrong, it's 4 o'clock.
John reached back to the desk and pushed a button.
We're going to be a bit delayed in here. I'll call when we're through.
He looked back at Randall.
Sorry, go on. Sometimes late at night, when the house was really quiet, I could turn this way up and just drift with the noise, but I always thought there was something else in there. Some other sound that I just couldn't quite get. Like a shortwave station that's just out of range, but you hear little bits of it mixed in with the noise. I swear I thought I heard something.
John looked serious and concerned.
I believe you. I really do. That's something one ham doesn't have to convince another about. When I was a kid, I listened to my shortwave all the time. I used to listen to the hiss, too. I kept waiting for a CIA station to come back on or for the skip to come in and bring in Buenos Aires. My mother would find me asleep with my earphones on all the time. Anyway, what did you do with your noise generator? I read everything I could get my hands on. I ran across a college-level physics book at the library that told about superconduction. You know about superconduction, Dr. Armstrong? I think so, but you tell me. If you can cool something down to perfect zero, absolute zero, it conducts perfectly. It even talked about cooling and solid-state noise. You know they cool the amplifiers and the big radio telescopes with liquid nitrogen just to get their noise level down? You see, the colder a diode is, the more perfect it is. And the more perfect it is, the fewer electrons get through it backwards. So the colder a diode is, the quieter it is. I thought I could hear the voice better if my unit wasn't so noisy. What did that have to do with the chem lab?
John's eyebrows were pursed, but he could hear the answer coming. In general, he knew what happened. It was just the details that were missing.
My dad worked with metal all the time in the basement. He's got all kinds of cleaning chemicals and stuff down there. I saw a demonstration on TV where they put dry ice into a jug of acetone, because acetone's freezing point is just below carbon dioxide. Anyway, they put flowers into the liquid and froze them solid and stuff. I figured that would be as close to liquid nitrogen as I would ever get. So I did it in my basement. I used the acetone my dad had. It was real messy, because the dry ice makes the acetone bubble like crazy. Anyway, I only had a little bit, maybe a cup. So I knew it wouldn't last long. I did it, put the diode in while I was listening.
Did it work?
And how? The noise nearly went away completely, and I heard the voice louder than ever. It only lasted a few seconds because the dry ice was going nuts and boiling the acetone away real fast. Between that and the furnace in the next room and my sister marching around upstairs, it was hard to hear the earphones very well, but I heard it. I heard it real clear.
John leaned in very close. The two were nearly nose to nose.
What was the voice saying, Randall?
Randall took a deep breath.
It sounded like my name over and over. My name. I was almost sure.
John leaned back and straightened his spine.
You used the acetone at the chem lab, huh? Yeah, my allowance isn't much, and I sure can't afford stuff like that. I got some more dry ice from a friend who works at Baskin-Robbins and went to the lab after school. Well, how did you get in after hours? Pick the lock. It's not hard. So, you stole acetone. That's what the theft part was all about. Yeah. And the fire? That was about the acetone too, wasn't it? Yeah, acetone is highly flammable, and they really freaked when they saw the Bunsen burners nearby. They weren't on, but that didn't make any difference. Mrs. Simons charged in with the police, and it was really boiling and splattering and stinking and all.
John started to grin. It was contagious. Randall's mouth broke at the edges as well.
I'm sorry, but I'd have liked to have seen their faces. It brings back memories of my fast times at Ridgemont High.
The two shared a private laugh. John dabbed at the edges of his eyes.
Let me guess. Your Baskin-Robbins friend squealed on you.
I guess.
Well, did it work?
Randall had trouble starting. His gaze seemed to be lost in the office air.
Yeah, I left the diode in for about 20 minutes. I had a gallon of acetone instead of just a cupful. Got it down real cold. I couldn't hear any noise at all, even at full gain. But I heard it. Woman's voice. Really far off and deep bass. What did she say? Same voice as before, but that time I was absolutely sure, no question at all. I heard it clear as a bell. Randall, can you hear me? Randall, can you hear me? Over and over, real slow, real deliberate. Randall, can you hear me?
John didn't know what to say. He and Randall were looking into each other's eyes. Randall had such an innocent expression mixed with something John hadn't seen in a child in a long time. Something about the boy's face told him that Randall had just laid himself completely open. John could not be more certain. Randall was reaching for a lifeline, and he was telling the God's honest truth, and he wanted John to believe him. Needed for John to believe him. Slow as snails, doctor and patient sank back into their respective chairs.
Dr. Armstrong?
John took a moment to try to make sense of it all, but there was nothing to be gained by a few more seconds. This was something that would take a great deal more time to sort out. But one thing was certain, a connection existed that was absent an hour before.
Randall,
John said slowly,
I don't know about this yet, but I believe you.
The intercom buzzed softly, startling the pair, making both of them jump.
Sorry, but we have to break this up. Gladys is pretty tough on me when I ignore my schedule.
He leaned back, lost in thought. Slowly, he tilted his head down and met Randall's eyes.
Do you want to come back and talk some more, Randall?
Yeah,
he nodded.
I'd like that.
John turned around and pushed the intercom button.
Gladys, will you show Mrs. Jensen in, please?
The door opened softly, and the small figure of Randall's mother shuffled in. Randall quickly stuffed the box back into his backpack.
Mrs. Jensen,
John said as he rose to meet her.
Randall and I have had a really good talk, and I think we both need some time to absorb it all. I'd like to see him on Wednesday and again on Friday. Then I think we can have a better look at things. Maybe figure out some things to do to get this young man back on the school track. He's far too intelligent to be thrown out of the classroom, but we do have some problems and some pretty serious issues. I think the school may have overreacted a bit, but we need to talk some more before I make any recommendations. Can you see that he gets back here day after tomorrow, and then again on Friday?
Sure, she said. Her face showed the strain of worry.
I can get off work when you need me to. Mom, I have a license. You don't need to treat me like a baby. I'm not, dear. I want to.
She put an arm around his shoulder. Randall's reaction showed that it was an unusual event.
Mom,
Randall began, but he caught sight of John, smiling a bit, shaking his head back and forth so slightly it was nearly unnoticed.
Oh, all right. Good. See you Wednesday. Check with Gladys when you leave. She'll make the appointment.
Mrs. Jensen turned to go, but caught herself at the door. She looked back.
We're nearly out of Valium. Do we need another prescription? I have no intention of prescribing anything. In fact, I think the Valium is more of a problem than a solution. Stop taking it right now, and Randall, bring in whatever you have left on Wednesday, okay? Let's see how the week goes.
Certainly. Thank you, Dr. Armstrong. Come on, dear. Let's go home.
The pair had just left the room when John called out.
Just a second, Randall.
He walked into the outer office where mother and son had stopped.
Mrs. Jensen, Randall will be along in a second. Might I have one more word with you before you go, young man?
Randall stepped back into the office, a look of concern on his face. John pointed at the backpack.
I want you to leave that with me, okay?
What for?
Just call it a professional courtesy, one ham to another. Doctor to patient.
He paused.
Friend to friend. I want you to leave it behind for a week. Watch MTV and listen to rock and roll instead. Eat pizza and stay out of your shop for a while. Get to bed by 11.
Will you do that?
It was obvious the boy didn't want to part with it. John held out his hand. Randall unzipped the pack and pulled out the unit, slowly wrapping the wires around it.
I'll get it back on Friday. You won't take it apart? You're not going to get rid of it, are you? No, I promise. You can have it back on Friday. Do you trust me?
He paused an uncomfortably long time.
I don't know. That's fair. That's within the rules.
Randall placed the box and headphones in John's hand.
See you on Wednesday,
John said. The door closed quietly and John walked back to his desk. Pushing the intercom button, he said,
Gladys, are there any more appointments for this afternoon? No, doctor. Good. Please see that I'm not disturbed for the rest of the afternoon. Tell you what, why don't you go ahead and lock up and go home early? Monday bonus.
Gladys didn't have to let the intercom finish. She poked her head in the doorway and said,
Thank you, John. That's very nice of you. See you in the morning. Night, Gladys.
The door closed again, and John dropped into his desk chair. He still held Randall's noise generator. The office was now very quiet, punctuated only by the ticking clock and the lock click of the main door in the outer office, sealing John away from the reality outside. He reached forward and switched his desk lamp down to dim and flicked the tiny switch on the scuffed aluminum box. The red LED glowed brightly. Carefully, John unwound the wires and placed the earphones on his head, his eyes closing slowly. He was no longer in his plush downtown office, and he was no longer 50 years old, but a small boy listening to the distant sounds of cosmic noise in the 20-meter band, his mother and father asleep in the next room. John's Hallicrafter's shortwave radio glowed softly in his mind, and his tiny fingers began the night-long task of spinning the tuning dial slowly up and down the dial. The world outside was getting dark. Gladys had gone. John sat quietly in his office, slowly advancing the small volume control knob on the curious box. His arm muscles relaxed as the soft rush of noise began to fill his ears. Wind in the trees, rainfall on the roof, steam from a radiator. Shh, it said.